Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, Jay, David, and Vicki sit down with Mr. Philip Osborne with Nutrien Ag Solutions. And as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
It's fixing to get into our first big heat wave of the summer of 2023 here, looks like. They're calling for 100-degree temperatures with a UK field day coming up, and those two things seem to go right hand in hand usually.
Yep, and they'll be over by the time this airs. But,
right, by the time this airs, that's right.
I hope the temperatures have climbed back down instead of being still warm, but we'll be into July, so, I mean, that's kind of that hot weather time, really.
Something we can expect probably through the beginning of August anyway.
Every bit of it. So
maybe it won't be quite as hot as it's going to be supposed to be the next 2 days, though.
I'd be all right with that.
I would be all right with that, too.
Yep.
It's going to be a little warm. But I will say that I'm glad I'm not at 4-H camp. Because I had to take...
That's a given.
Yeah, well,
regardless of the
temperature. That's true. But Webster County is at 4-H camp this week. And so yesterday, doing what a lot of ag agents do, we haul luggage down to 4-H camp, and then we get in our vehicle and haul ourselves back. And then we go back down to pick up luggage on the last day of camp and bring it back. So
I got me one of them our 4-H agents now.
A Webster County boy.
Yeah. So we're pretty tickled to have him, and he gets to do all that. I don't even have to do that. So
yeah.
I'm pretty tickled about that. They're going next week, so.
Yeah, well.
Well, now, you still could be a good co-worker and go down there. And help, you know. You're so seasoned at doing it.
I am. That's why I'm good at telling people to do things now. I'm not near as good as doing it.
You need to go show him.
If you take luggage, you get to come back home, though.
Well, I am going down there Monday now. I'll just take up for myself. I'm going Monday to show them how to check in the cabins and do all the sheets and stuff, but I am not going back.
You are being a team player, David.
I see. There you go.
I went to 4-H camp a couple of weeks ago on that Monday on the first day, kind of like Vicki was talking about. And as I was leaving, I pulled up next to our two 4-H agents, and I rolled the window down on the truck about that much, you know, just enough where they could hear what I was saying, not letting any of my air conditioning.
That's right. Another air out.
I didn't want them to feel that and get homesick, you know.
Well, anyway.
Yep.
I'm glad I'm not at 4-H camp.
Yep. Me too.
Guest with us today, Mr. Philip Osborne, officially a retread now at this point because you've been on here once before, so. Well, welcome to the show with us.
Thank you. Enjoyed last time and looking forward to this one.
We'll make sure and get you a link to this one. But right now our shows have been pretty widespread. They've got a good following at this point, and we have a good audience every week. We appreciate them. We can be contacted through Podbean at any time. Anybody wants to drop us a line and let us know what they like to hear or have a question for us, we look forward to hearing some of that. So.
Yeah, we'd kind of like to hear, you know, some comments on our shows too, Jay. I mean, it'd be awful nice to if folks enjoy them or if they don't enjoy them. We want the comments either way, and we'd like to improve. Every time we do this, we feel like we improve a little bit. So
I think that's constructive criticism.
Yeah. Any comments you've got, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Broadcasting with some new upgraded equipment today, and on our end, it sounds pretty good. I hope it comes out the other end the same way.
Yep, I think so. You know, we've been through wheat harvest at this point, especially when this show airs. And Philip, you know, I think, overall, we've probably had one of the best wheat crops that we've ever had in the state of Kentucky. And talk with us about what you got to see or what you're hearing and from a yield standpoint, too, and you know, and crop health, too.
Yeah, I mean, Webster County is not a huge wheat county. We do have some, but it's very limited. The yields we had were exceptional for Webster County, in my opinion.
I agree.
Wheat looked good. You know, old-timers always said you plant it in the dust, your bin's a bust. Well, it was definitely planted in the dust. It took it forever to come up. One particular grower had some and, you know, was thinking he was going to destroy it come December, January. So it's just awful thin. I said, just give it time, mm-hmm. and it come out and made an excellent crop.
Yeah.
He's trying to get his double crop beans in the ground now, and it's not cooperating very well at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah. he is, you know, we're trying to get them planted. But yeah, overall, I think the wheat harvest went really well. Wheat yields were good. Test weights were excellent. I think it went mm-hmm. well.
You know, I saw something on Facebook a friend of mine posted, and he said, you know, this wheat crop tried to die about three times.
Right.
And then so, that's you know, right. it to me, that just tells us how much we don't know about wheat and how much that different things affect it different ways. And, you know, when some things hurt it and some things don't. And the things that I feel like that we think hurt wheat sometimes don't. You know, and we've had two or three cold snaps that I thought, wow, this is going to get it right yeah. here. And then, I mean, we've got the best wheat crop we've ever had, you know. And I understand, you know, conditions have to all be perfect and all that kind of stuff. But it's just remarkable to me how resilient that the wheat plant is and how much we don't know about how all that affects it.
I had a conversation with a producer the other day just about that, about how these conditions, it had every bad thing it could have thrown at it. And what we decided when you're talking about different varieties is none of them handle the same stress the same way. Mm-hmm. And that same stress at a different time in that plant's life may affect it more or less, right. depending.
Yep.
So there's no constants when it comes to that. It changed all the way through. We had a couple of three different freezes. It was planted in the dry. Like you say, it took forever to get a stand. But on average, probably the best crop across the region we've had.
I haven't heard of any yields under 100 bushels. Yeah. I mean, I hadn't heard any. I mean, there may be some, but I certainly hadn't heard them. But I mean, if y'all have.
Talked to a producer who had a whole crop average, his whole wheat crop, 92 bushels, the whole crop.
Oh, wow.
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in wheat country.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you know, I always get concerned about wheat when it sets in raining too, mm-hmm. because typically in the spring, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't like that. It doesn't like wet feet, so to speak. And I was a little concerned when we had that 2 and 3 weeks of it just rained all the time. And I thought, ugh, I don't know what this is going to do to this wheat crop. And again,
there must just not have been any disease presence, because we had the conditions for it. Just not the disease never materialized. Every time yeah. we would see one of these things happen, well, this is the one that's going to get it. But it wouldn't. It just kept on.
But you take, you know, if you think about the weather, you go back to from mid-March, March 15th through May 7th, it was cooler, but mm-hmm. it was drier.
True. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it may have rebounded from some of that
yeah.
heavy
yeah.
moisture we had early. Had we had the moisture in April, we might have been talking about a different wheat crop. Yeah.
Right.
But it did so. Have a time to rebound, mm-hmm. you know, when we were planting our corn and beans.
You know, I saw a good bit of take-all in some of the wheat, especially that beside of my house had a good bit of take-all in it. I didn't see a lot of head scab, and I haven't heard of a lot of people talking about head scab, to be real honest about it.
No. It was a pretty healthy crop yeah. overall.
Yeah. Anytime we can hear wheat yield up into the 120s, I think that's a pretty good year.
Yeah, and I've
for Kentucky,
I've heard, you know, that some yields are higher than that. I mean, maybe not the whole field, but,
right.
you know, where places. They've, you know, places where they weighed, you know, maybe weighed some out or checked some. Or, of course, you know, everybody has a yield monitor now. Now, not always are they calibrated, so you can't always go by the numbers.
Are you sure?
It's speculation. Speculation on my part. But when you're calibrating those and actually weighing those loads out and seeing those high yields, and you just don't see that every year. So
right,
yeah, it's been pretty unusual. Something that I've never seen this in my career. So I guess that's why I'm so, you know, hyped up about it a little bit. But I thought it was probably one of the better years that we've ever had from
our
a wheat standpoint.
Our counterpart, Katie Hughes, over at Union County, she was at my office yesterday, and of course they have a lot more wheat in Union County than they do in Webster County, and she told me that she just finished her 14th wheat yield state contest, you know, and so that tells you how good the wheat is, because she did 14 last year. She did three. So
oh, wow.
yeah.
Now, I don't know any numbers. She didn't share anything. Us agents are pretty, we keep that pretty quiet usually, especially if you've got good wheat.
If you've got a good one, you don't let nobody know about
it. You don't let nobody know what it is. Yeah. And she didn't let me know any numbers, nor did I ask for that matter. But she said that'll finish her up, that they're pretty much 14. Done. Wow. Yeah, but she said it was she finished her 14th one right before she came to my office. Wow. So
she's getting it to get out and get that much done.
Yeah. She said
it's tough to do.
She said she's been running pretty hard. I mean, she's been running.
And Union County is pretty they're known for their yields of a lot of their crops, because honestly, they soybean contest and the corn contest, they're always in the hunt, every year. So That's great for her.
Yeah, it is. I would dare say she might get that award for the most entries. What is that, where you get the most entries? She might be in the running for that. The Ag Agent Awards, I mean.
Yep. I would love to see her get that.
I would love for her to get that, too. But, just shout out to Katie. She also had her county fair last week. So she
did all that while she had county fair going on.
She said she was tired. Well, she told me yesterday, she said, I am worn out. So shout out to Katie for all the hard work she did last week.
Well, Philip, I know that there are some issues about getting beans planted and everything. Kind of talk with us a little bit about what you're seeing, maybe some of the problems and issues folks are having and I know it's a little bit drier up in Webster County, and I Jay and I talked, and we probably got more rain this year. This is something that doesn't happen very often, mm-hmm. but we've got more rain than y'all have gotten.
Right.
At my house, I got like 3 inches and 7 tenths, and up y'all's way, not near that much.
No, so, we got 5 tenths.
Yeah.
So what are some of the issues that you're seeing?
Well, there's several. One, getting the beans planted is a big deal, trying to get them to go get them in the ground, get them covered. The moisture table, is 1.5, 2 inches deep. Do you drop a bean that deep, or do you lay him up there in the top and hope it rains?
Rain,
I walked the field. Well, we've been out there 2 weeks in a row. It's like every Tuesday or Wednesday he would call, hey, let's go look at him again. Still no rain. Bean was laying there. He's intact. He was planted May the 24th. And did not have enough moisture to come up. But he got 3 tenths of rain the other day, one day last week, and it swelled him. I said, well, it's a live or die now, because if you don't get something else, he's not going to make it.
Right.
And yesterday you could see him. But, that's a big deal from my standpoint, because, they put them in the ground. Well, do we replant them? Well, if you plant them in the – when it's dry and they didn't come up, what good is replanting them today? Because they're not going to come up again.
Right.
So let's wait for it to rain. Hopefully it gets muddy, but if it don't, wait for rain and see what happens in a couple of days. Then if they don't come up, let's revisit it. But, you can't just keep throwing seed in the dirt or in the dust hoping they'll come up. I mean, you got to get at that point, you have to wait for rain.
Yeah.
But most of them are coming up now and looking pretty good. Going on back a little farther, we spoke a while ago, mid-March to April, end of April, it was perfect conditions as far as rainfall. We were 90% or better through planting corn and beans. May 7 rolls around that Sunday morning, come a flood of a, mm-hmm.
Yeah, y'all had a flood, we didn't.
Exactly. But that went from us having an easy spring, everything looking perfect, all the corn being the same height, to let's start all over and go again. Yeah. And then from May 7th through probably, I think we sprayed some on the 18th and left tracks trying to spray some corn that we were going to keep. So it's still muddy on the 18th. So I'm thinking around the 20th or 22nd before any field work was actually done, but you had to start all over and do a lot of it again. Because, 2 or 3 days – planning for these guys anymore isn't 100 acres a day or 200 acres a day. I mean, we haven't, everybody's got 2 or 3 planters running. They're planting corn, soybeans, same time. Mm-hmm. You can knock 1,000 acres out pretty quick. And then you get a 7-inch rain on it, you're right back in the game again. Yeah. Back up and start over. So, it was kind of a challenge, but but like I said, the beans are coming on now. Corn looked good for the most part, and just scattered.
What percentage do you think maybe has been replanted? You know, just let's say in your
in
area
Webster
that
County
that you deal with.
In Webster County, I'm going to say 25 to 30% at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably on the low side of that.
Right.
Because, like I said, there was a lot. Some of them had, you know, individual growers had up to 50, 60% replanted.
Right, right.
But overall, I'd say, you know, probably 30, 35%.
That's kind of what I was guessing there in McLean County a little bit, too. And, you know, and there were some places that they didn't replant the whole field, mm-hmm. that they just – there's one particular place going into Calhoun that they just replanted the end rows is what they had to replant. The rest of the corn is probably, gosh, it's probably 2 foot taller than the rest of it.
Before we started recording, Philip, I was telling Dave and Vicki about a field I pass every day that was, I'm going to say probably two-thirds of it ended up being replanted. And it's anywhere from 6 inches to a foot tall now. And right across the ditch, there's corn fully tasseled out.
Well, I mean, there's one there, you know, around Providence area. You know, he's normally later. I mean, he's not real late on planting, but he's behind everybody else. It's just his characteristic. But so you've got corn on one side of the road that's knee-high, literally across the highway. It's tossling.
Yeah.
But both of them got hammered with a hailstorm Saturday, or Sunday, rather. And they're stemmed, so which one's going to tally up? You know, his corn that's tasseling now looked better earlier, you'd think was great, mm-hmm. but now you see shoots and tassels and no ears or no leaves there. The other one's knee high, you see a stalk, but you know he's got potential coming back. So mm-hmm. you know, be interesting to see what happens there. But yeah,
it's I would hate to be in that situation for sure. That and we had a storm pass through that kind of Philip was telling us beforehand, his vehicles got hammered pretty good, so there was a lot in his little community there that got hammered. So, you know, hopefully we can not have some of that stuff, especially when we get as far along as Tyson and that type thing. So, you know, hopefully that'll not happen.
I think the weather conditions over the last couple of years, or probably even more than that, but it just seems like you don't just have a little shower anymore. You have, you know, either zero or a few tenths, or you have 3 or 4 inches, it seems like. And then these, like I said, this hailstorm that came through, I mean, it wasn't just a little hailstorm. Yeah. I mean, it did take a path like I think you had said you'd almost kind of alluded to. It's almost like a tornado because the way they wind around. And it was sort of like that with this hailstorm, because I didn't, at my house where I'm in Webster County, I did not get any hail damage, but 8 miles from maybe not even 8 miles from him, because I'm not on the clay side, but I'm definitely, you know, closer to clay than I am, you know, the clay side of Dixon, I guess you could say. Right. But having those kind of storms, and it's just, you know,
Matt Dixon, kind of, he's our UK meteorologist, and he's kind of alluded to the fact that we do have more frequency of these severe events. Mm-hmm. that have been happening. So, you know, there may be a good something. There may be something to a lot of that.
Oh, so. Yeah. And it just – and it's like what just when you think you get over the hump from one thing, then you get another. Yeah. But, I mean, like we've said since we've been doing this podcast is mm-hmm. one thing about it, we can't predict what's going to happen. And so, therefore, it's having all those different tools in the toolbox and right. being prepared and having having different plans ready for – when something does happen. I mean, obviously we don't always think about a hailstorm like that, but, you know, just being able to try to reevaluate and then say, okay, yep, this is what we got. This is the hand we got dealt. Mm-hmm. Now we just see what, let's make the best decision that we can at this point to see where we go. And a big part of that, you know, for producers, I think is making sure you have the right people on your team, the right people around the table. I like to say that you're calling and getting your information from and getting your advice from and just knowing the right people mm-hmm. To talk to and knowing the right questions to ask.
Yeah.
So,
and speaking of the right questions to ask and about the right tools in the toolbox, Philip, talk with us a little bit about, you know, we've got corn that's tossing. We've got corn that's 6-8 inches tall, mm-hmm. you know, and folks are – you know, I hardly ever talk to anybody that's not putting fungicide on corn now.
Right.
And, you know, talk with us a little bit about, you know, what some of the options are maybe, and then how do we handle these different stages of corn that we've got?
Well, there's several different fungicides out there to choose from. All of them are very similar, but there are a few that are a lot safer, I guess would be the excuse me, the term to use as far as, you know, if you're going late or too early, you don't want to blank that ear when it's trying to pollinate. So it's very important to know where you are in that stage. But, you know, again, who knows what's going to happen in the future. There's diseases out there now, maybe not severe yet, but, you know, they're there. If you've been through the hailstorm or any other kind of stress, a fungicide most generally will help you recover from that stress, buy you a little time for rain or whatever. As far as, you know, and you alluded to 6 inches up to tasseling, a lot of that's in the same field. Mm-hmm. So you have to be aware of where you're at. I don't recommend spraying anything when it's full pollination. I mean, it scares me. It should work, but I just don't want to take that risk. So I would back up, let your early corn or your majority get to the right point, and then I'd pull the trigger and go with it. And then be selective on what you put in the tank, you know.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a real issue for folks in our area, especially those that replanted in the same field. They still had corn standing. I think it's going to be a real issue mm-hmm. about the timing of the fungicide and what's best and how is the best way to get that done. You know, there's ground rigs, there's aerial application, there's a lot of different ways you can get it put on. I don't think that's necessarily the problem. I think the problem is going to be, you know, what stage is the majority of the corn in to be able to spray it and do it correctly.
And be able to get the effects that you know, the results that you want
right.
for, especially when you have that, you know, variability on the,
yeah.
on crop stages within the same field. And that's a legit problem. I mean, that's yep. just a legit issue this year. And
Philip, would you rather be a little early than a little late, or would you rather be, you see what I'm getting at? You know,
yeah.
what's the best, you know, if you're in that situation, is it better to be a little early or is it better to be a little late?
Depending on the product you're using, I would rather be a little early. You know, late still helps you,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, you got to realize, do you have a preventative or a curative?
Right.
You know, once mm-hmm. a disease there, I don't care, you can spray it the day the disease happens, you're still hurting yourself. So early is always better. It's just, you know, watch that pollination key. That's
right.
that's the key.
And that's the product also has something to do with that too, don't
correct.
You think?
Yes. Surfactants, some of them won't hurt, some of them can hurt. Different products. And like I said, anybody that's sprayed a lot of fungicides or recommends them, they know which ones to watch out for and to,
mm-hmm.
you know, be on the caution side of it. But most all of them are safe enough. It's just there's a critical point that you have to know yep. where that is. But I would much rather be on the early side, personally.
And what about beans? What about soybeans? Are you, I mean, you same?
Soybeans is a different? It's a no-brainer. You always want to be on the early side of a soybean. I mean, it is more critical than a corn. You can make it on a corn side. If you're on the late side, you can still get a potential
some
yield
benefit.
Bump or
yep.
some benefit and some disease control on a soybean. Once you go past R5, it's game over. I mean, you're
yep.
flipping, you're trading dollars.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It just don't pan out.
Yeah.
So I'd rather, and not real early on a soybean, but, you know, R1 to R3 is pretty good range
right.
To go with.
Yep.
Philip, I know you're probably getting these same questions that we're getting or anticipate that we will be getting, if not already, on the fungicide application, is it particularly in this area of Kentucky that we're in, because we are in a drought. I mean, we're sitting here and just we're missing every rain, you look out and you think, well, we got a little chance of getting rain on Friday. Well, by the time Friday gets here, it's gone.
It's gone.
And so the question, the next question is going to be, if we don't get a rain, do we make these applications? And so just kind of talk about that and the things that a producer, you know, that checklist or those things to think about when they're making those decisions. And then you as a person that's going to be making recommendations, the things that you think about on whether to make those applications or not in the current drought situation that we're in. Because somebody else, one of our listeners may be sitting in a drought situation too, and just about the process for deciding to making those decisions.
And that's a valid question because, you know, it's kind of a loaded question. There's several different ways I could go about answering this. One is, you know, we're sitting here today, end of June. We're probably 2 weeks away from doing fungicide on corn or soybeans. There's some early soybeans that'll be hitting probably next week. It's dry. You know, don't throw the fungicide application away today because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Mm-hmm. So you always have to have a plan. I caution on plan for the fungicide application, you know, because it is a benefit, corn and soybeans. It will pay you, you know, to do it. And it just helps the plant. But on the flip side of that, the day of the application, reevaluate your crop, especially corn. I mean, if you're spraying corn, it's already pollinated, walk out in the field. Don't go to the edge. Walk out in the field, shuck that corn back, see what you've got. Did it pollinate? Did it not pollinate? If it didn't, a fungicide's not going to do you any good. I mean, you can't make a cob make corn if there's no pollen there.
Right.
So you have to be aware of your situation. Now, we mentioned earlier there's different growth stages in the cornfields today. So go to where you've replanted. You know how many acres you replanted. You have turned in on your insurance or whatever. Report it when you report your crop. So is 75% of your field replanted or is 75% of your field original planted? Look at those and see what you've got, because just because one blank don't mean all of them do. So, you know, it's going to take a lot more scouting to really make the best decision, but I encourage you to do it because it will pay off, because everything's not the same this year.
Yeah.
Very, very few places it will be the same. 2012, we'll go back to it. Everybody remembers it. They try to forget it, but you can't. But 2012, I had a aerial applicator. We were spraying like crazy. I was at a farmer's house there in Dixon, and we were sitting in the truck talking, watching them fly. And I said, let's just walk out there and see what we got. And we walked out there, and I come back, and when the chopper landed to reload, I said, unload it. I said, go to the house. He said, do what? I said, it's over. And he said, the corn looks good. I said, we got potential. I said, you can't. There's nothing there. Yeah. But you just had a few scattered grains, and, you know, we pulled the plug. It was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yes, we could have continued spraying and using his money and hoping for something, but I mean, there's no hope at that point. You know, a soybean's a little more resilient. He can come back and start another growth, which they did in 2012 after we finally got a rain, and most soybean yields ended up pretty good, but the corn, it just wasn't there. And like I said, you've got to know when to walk away, and there's sometimes it's a gray area, and you got to communicate with the grower or your trusted advisor or whoever you're getting information from, and let's make a good decision, mm-hmm. whether it's the universities or your ag retailer or whoever, but
or both,
you know, get everybody out there in the field and let's hash it
let's
out.
Look it out.
You know, because everybody's got different opinions.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, whether most of us that's working in this field are whether you're selling a product or whether you're more in an education field like we're in, but our goal is the same. Our goal is the same, to help the producer.
Right.
Our goal is to help them be more successful. And even though what we do to help them may be different, we're all still on the same, hopefully would be on the same page. And, and being able to get different viewpoints, you know, on things to think about. At the end of the day, it's going to come back to how much risk are you willing to take? How much, you know, what, you know, as a producer, and what that individual producer feels like is best for that operation.
I don't know, as we've done a crop podcast, that we hadn't talked about scouting fields. Mm-hmm. And Jay's mentioned it 100 times, mm-hmm. you know, that. And I think this year is probably going to be more important just because of the growth stages that our corn and stuff is in, and just exactly what Philip was talking right. about.
Mm-hmm. Being able to time that application.
Yeah.
And not only that, I'll take it a step farther because I'm seeing it now. Y'all mentioned we started spraying end of May when we finally got back in. So all of your crops that survived the flood of May 7 that was planted early, you sprayed it sometime mid, end of May, 1st of June, it's not had any rain to activate those residuals. So now mm-hmm. you're getting, you know, the first rain you get, you start seeing the weeds come up. You know, you better be scouting and looking mm-hmm. because, you know, it might warrant a respray because it's yep. just not, it didn't activate the chemical to control it.
There's a field that I drive by every day, Jay, that the corn in it is probably 3 foot tall, and then the replant is probably it might be 6 inches, but it's grass as thick as my yard mm-hmm. in that field, and I think they finally sprayed that last week, but I don't know, it's gonna be pretty tough to kill,
and that pretty hurts tough. I mean, yep. you're hurting oh, yeah. yield when you're yep. competing with grass right. or weeds or anything, mm-hmm. especially yep. in June.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, your growing season's getting shorter quick
all the time. That's
when
right.
in a dry time, when there's not enough to go around anyway, you don't need to be sharing any
you
of
don't
it.
You're yep. exactly right.
No, that is exactly right. But
and then you also, you can't take, you know, what your neighbor did as what you should do, because right. your neighbor's corn may have survived, yours didn't, or vice versa. You know, there's all kinds of scenarios out there. So it's very important yeah. not to take somebody else's word. Get out there and look.
But one of my producers, he and I were talking about how much rain he had gotten, and so he's got several farms scattered around the county, and he had anywhere from 6 tenths to an inch and a half. It's just depending on where you were at. So all of those fields are going to have, could have a different recommendation as far as, you know, fungicides or weed control or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's how much difference that makes. And anymore, we don't seem like we get those blanket rains. You know, the rains that everybody gets. We're getting a little bit here and a little bit there. Last year it was y'all, mm-hmm. Vicky and Philip, y'all were getting the rains, and Jay and I were, it was dry as a bone.
Yeah.
And, you know, this year seems like may have turned the tables mm-hmm. a little bit, but, you know, we want everybody to get some rain, obviously. But, I mean, those recommendations and getting out there and scouting those fields to see what you have is going to be even more important this year, I think.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a constant reminder to us that if you really want to know what's going on in your field, you're going to have to get out in it and walk around and look at it. Yeah. I mean, that's the only way you're going to really know what's going on. And that's the way to make the best informed decisions.
It's the foundation of making management decisions.
Sure.
That's exactly what
you're
I was
right.
going to say.
Yeah, you can't make a decision about something you don't know about. Well, you can, and it happens all the time, but it never turns out good.
That's right. Well, that's right.
So that happens in our business all the time. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there, but yeah,
we've talked about from a you know, producer's standpoint and the frustrations of this year, and from the early planting, things going well, think, well, this is great, and then it kind of flips upside down and it's hadn't got upright since, it seems like,
right.
But just talk a little bit about the frustrations of those ag retail stores and your how that same frustration for you all, but just the from y'all's perspective on how you all handle and react to those same frustrations.
Well, I'll go back to the first podcast I done. I don't remember exactly how I had it, but you know, we were talking about the fertilizer market and supply and demand, the prices, and I made a comment to some effect that the nitrogen market was one that you could throw a dart at. You could not pinpoint what was going to happen there. That thing was up and down. So you fast forward, you know, mid-March. It was cool, but it was dry. Ground worked perfect. I mean, you couldn't ask for it to fall apart any better. With us treating soybeans now, you can put the soybeans out there before you can put the corn, and they'll survive. I mean, it just blows my mind, but it works. So everybody's planting corn, soybeans. The whole month of April, end of April, we're 90%+ done. Everything's looking excellent. I mean, everybody's just so happy. As an ag retailer, you're just tickled to death. Like, man, we're going to actually get to have a vacation or a good summer this year, you know? May 7th, I'll never forget it. It was on Sunday morning. I was up at the fertilizer building getting something for a grower. Another one pulls in. He's always kind of comical and trying to pull pranks on you. But anyway, so I had no idea what he was fixing to do. He pulled up there and we were talking. He said, look, AccuWeather, 0.02 inch of rain today. He said, it ain't going to do nothing. He said, I'm going to Evansville. So they took off. 2 hours later, Vicky's brother's moving a tractor in. Water's just gushing across the field he was fixing to pull into. And he calls me. He said, can you believe this? I said, no. So I go down there where this grower had just left me. He's planted probably, I don't know, I think it's like 65 acres, little bottom there. And the water was probably 3.5 foot deep over it. So I took a picture and sent it to him. He's like, where's that at? And I said, your AccuWeather stinks. I said, you need to throw that thing away. I said, 0.02 inch, my butt. You know, 7 inches later,
right?
You know, we're replanting. So, I mean, it is troublesome. You know, our buildings are only so big. Mm-hmm. Your returns on seed corn, dumps on soybeans, you're limited to. So you figure a few in, but there's no way you could figure that amount. I mean, everything that was planted in that last week, which is a lot of acres, had to be redone. And then some of it in the bottom ground that was already up looking good because the water getting over it had to be. So that was a big challenge, because then the next 3 weeks you're scrambling, calling all your suppliers, saying, hey, what have you got? This is what I think I'm going to need, whether we do or not. And then one that went even a little farther than that I've never seen in my career, and it was widespread in Webster County, a little in Hopkins, but mainly in Webster's where I saw it. But these growers planted the corn. It's up probably, I'm going to say V2, V3 stage. It's 6-8 inches tall, and it looked pretty till you walk out there in it, and the water got in the row of the corn and washed the dirt off the roots. And you get out there, it looks good because there's plenty of moisture, but the root, you could see the seed and the roots there.
Yep.
Today it would be dead.
Yep.
I mean, there's no way it could survive. So, you know, then it went to, you know what you know you've got to replant this that's completely destroyed. But then we had to step back and go to every field and scout all of them, because what looks good may not be good. And it was a lot of acres that way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was a very challenging time doing that. And then now you got beans and corn both going back and forth. Well, then you got the guys, well, the corn's rotted. The beans are still there. Do I replant them? You know, let's hold the table a little bit, you know, see what happens. But it was a challenging year. But right now everything is up looking good. It is dry. Forecast for, you know, some major heat next couple of days. But I think Vicky kind of alluded to earlier there might be a little bit of water in the process that might help us with that heat. So, you know, the jury's still out, but it's been a trying year.
Mm-hmm. I think the humidity may help with that some. You know, when we went through the dry spell earlier in the year, there was no humidity in the air. No storms were coming from the south. Everything was just coming from the north and kind of dissipating as it got here. Except for, you know, the bad storm you're talking about on May 7th. As we get into these hotter days and we start having some humidity, they may not be widespread, but that's typical of the pop-up thundershowers. And as we pull some of that moisture out of the Gulf, that hopefully will right that for a lot of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen a bunch of corn twisted here in the last couple of days even. Yesterday when I was coming home from Calhoun, I saw some. down through there. Philip, talk about how much trouble it is from an ag retail standpoint to get this replant corn, because, you know, nobody's planning for that.
No.
So how as a retailer, how do you figure that out?
Well, from a retailer, you know, especially with our retailer, we have stores scattered all, you know, across many country or states. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can source from other people, you know, just, it wasn't a nationwide
right.
event. So we could step outside our geographical area and start sourcing from other people. The suppliers, they bank on it more than you think. You know, overall, say they put back 25% for replant or something. I don't know the exact number, but I'm just mm-hmm. throwing a number out there. But they put 25% out for the country. But then when you've got one area, then they can pull from that to help. The problem was logistics and then making sure you had the right variety at the right time, you know, to get it in the ground. But if there is a good side to it, from May 7th through the end of May while it's wet, that gave us time to start to sourcing those and get them there.
Yep.
Had it been 3 inches of rain and done the same thing and we was back in the field in 2 weeks, it would have been a lot tougher.
Right.
But we were able to do it and got everybody covered.
That's interesting. And I know that brings us into our timely tip, Jay, and we always like to end our show with a timely tip. So
you know, the one thing that's consistent about this corn crop may be the inconsistencies because it's going to be different from beginning
statement.
To end, just wavy across it.
Yeah.
And we just want to remind folks when we're talking about fungicide applications, it's not all going to be ready at the same time. It's not all going to have that optimal stage at the same time. So monitor those growth stages of your corn before applying fungicides. With the crop being planted in several different stages, it won't be all ready for that application at the same time. But as you said, if you wanted to hedge one, you wanted to be a little bit early when that application. In some fields, it may be different from one end of the field to the next. So
right.
That's something we want to remind people of at this point right now anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this year and I think this summer is going to be a bit of a challenge too, Philip, from that standpoint, from the fungicide standpoint, when to apply and what stage to apply and those things. And because, like Jay said, I mean, you can drive through the country up in this area and see the corn is as wavy and uneven as I've seen it in quite some time. So, I mean, it's going to be tough to get that done.
I agree. And it may be to the point that you have to make multiple applications of the fungicide. You may have to do part of the field one time and come back and do the other the next. I mean, because we don't know what diseases are still to come.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
If you have a southern rust issue, you know, you need to back up and regroup.
Well,
hopefully it's late.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's always a wild card for sure. Let's hope that that's not a big issue this year. We've had enough obstacles this year.
I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Philip, we appreciate you coming back and being with us this week. We want to thank you for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.